This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Thanks for tuning in to your Day Off podcast, hosted by your boys, Corey and Tony.
I think by the end of today, I might have another best friend.
They're committed to making you fall in love with the hair industry, one podcast at a time.
You're going to grab a lot of information.
Yeah,
you're going to learn a lot.
Presented by Hair Industry.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is it.
Your Day Off podcast will begin after a word from our sponsors.
Hey, Tony, there's something that every solo entrepreneur needs to hear. If you're running your own show, you know how important branding and client management are.
And speaking of making things easier for solopreneurs, let's talk about Schedulicity. It's designed to personalize your client interactions from start to finish.
Schedulicity has some cool new features coming. You'll soon be able to customize your booking page, add your own logos, choose your colors, and really make it sing to your brand's personality.
It's like giving your business a digital front door that looks and feels like you. Schedulicity isn't just about looking good. Schedulicity is designed to make everything smoother from booking to billing.
You know, it's not just about the looks, it's about efficiency too. They've integrated something pretty slick, intake forms. Now clients can fill out all the details before they even step foot into the door.
What's cool is these forms attach to the client's profile and update automatically for future appointments. Talk about saving time and starting on schedule.
It's your schedule and your success all rolled into one. With all these tools from Schedulicity, you're not just running your business, you're growing it.
And for all the solopreneurs and suite owners out there, this is exactly the kind of support we need to stand out in a crowded market.
Welcome to your day off. My name is Corey. Of course, I'm sitting with my best friend, Tony. What's up, buddy?
What's going on, brother?
First and foremost, big shout outs to ABS for having us back once again. They're just always so generous about giving us space to when we're at ABS, give us space to talk with our friends.
Yeah, I tell you what, out of all the shows, this is one of the ones that I look forward coming to, because not only you get to come to Chicago, right, but they really have done a great job of, because after the pandemic, when you saw that first year and then you compare it to today, I mean, it's every year is getting bigger, stronger, better. The people here are great. It's one of my favorites, man.
Just from vendors alone, like we were walking the floor today, and just from vendors alone, it seems like there's like three times the amount of vendors. It's like people have really showed up. You know, I hate to, you know, we don't talk about it anymore, but you know, back in those days, you know, the floor wasn't quite as full. And now this year, it's like I actually got lost on the floor today. You know? Yeah. Oh, and the main stage is like six times the size that it was.
Oh, my goodness. I love how they set it up, though, with, you know, a big showroom on either side. So, you know, because it felt like the other side, that if the main stage didn't draw you, you might get lost, because it is kind of confusing because it's so large.
Yeah, for sure. We did get lost, yeah. You know, trying to find our way around. Hey, another shout out this weekend goes to Schedulicity. Schedulicity is sponsoring the weekend for us, you know, just a big thank you to Jerry and Missy and all of our friends over at Schedulicity. You know, we talk about it all the time, and I think Schedulicity, they're definitely a company that's hairdresser first, in all the interactions that we've had over the years, everything has been through the funnel of what's good for the hairdresser, even including like during COVID, they didn't ask for payment for like 8 or 9 months, which is just, name one company out there in the industry that said, we don't want your money. As a matter of fact, during COVID, most of the other companies became hawks, and they became like, how can we take as much money in as possible? And Schedulicity did the opposite, which, you know, that's what Jerry does, you know, that, or that's what the company does. They do the opposite of what trends.
Yeah, I mean, it comes from the owner. It comes from the top, right? And Jerry, that's who he is. And you can tell through everybody else in the rock star, everybody in that company has that same kind of just warm, friendly, just want to, you know.
How can we help the hairdresser?
Yeah.
You know, it's the most amazing company to be around, and just they just prove it. You know, I think if they prove it, you know, a lot of people say, oh, we're hairdressers strong, but like they prove that their hairdressers strong. You know, again, during I there's no better example than during the pandemic. They didn't take anybody's money for 9 months.
They showed up.
That's the best way to say it. So once again, thank you, Schedulicity. Here's what's cool about doing live events. And what's cool about doing live events is we get to talk to friends or if they're not your friend before the podcast, they'll be the friend after the podcast. However, our guest today, we've actually been talking to for literally like 3 years trying to get her on the podcast. And today's the day.
All right. I know, because you and I, we've talked about it plenty of times. Like, all right, she's just so busy.
She's like Batman. She's like all elusive and stuff.
Yeah. Sometimes people are just hard to get hold of, and we're just fortunate and blessed enough to get her down today.
That's it. So should we get in? So today our guest is Whitney Vermeer, and she doesn't live in a bat cave, but she's come up to or I guess she does live in a bat cave because we can't seem to find her. But she's giving us her presence today.
Is it Vermeer or Vermeer?
Vermeer.
Yeah, did I mess it up? Yeah. Vermeer.
Right. Yeah. You know, honestly, people mess it up all the time. So actually, my last name was supposed to be two words, but I put it together to try to make it a little bit easier.
Didn't work out so well, did it?
No, it really does. It just doesn't. But that's okay.
Like in Germany, there's a von, like a V-O-N.
Yes.
Which usually means like some kind of like a royal family or some kind of like family with connections. What's the Ver?
So Vermeer is actually Dutch. So it's funny because we were speaking about Ruzel earlier. Mm-hmm. And so Robin Lane and I always like joke around when we're in Tokyo together that all three of us are Dutch and stuff like that, but I keep meaning to learn the language, but it doesn't sound as cool. So
isn't it like supposed to be like one? Isn't it doesn't sound as cool when Rob does it?
Yeah,
but
that's very true. Yes.
isn't it like one of the hardest languages to learn?
Oh, I'm sure.
Because I think it's like all those languages, what I've just lost my train of thought, but like all the German and all that, it's all kind of like a combo of all of that, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I always like have the best of intentions of learning a few words, but I don't know, man. I think the older you get, the harder it is to learn languages and stuff like that. So
I think your care just isn't there as much.
Yeah,
to be honest.
Honestly, yeah. And then just information overload. It's like, yeah. I can only keep so much in there. So
that's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair. So where are you from?
I am actually originally from Iowa, but I live in Minneapolis, Minnesota currently.
I thought you were going to say like Rotterdam or, you know.
No, that'd be a lot cooler, but I'm actually from a really small little town in northwest Iowa. And I actually grew up in a house in the middle of nowhere that was like built into a hill. And we had like horses and stuff like that. I was pretty much a feral child out in the middle of nowhere in Iowa. So I actually attribute a lot of my creativity to that because there was nothing else to do, so I kind of had to make up stuff to do, and like I was just always outside like playing. And
are you an only child?
I'm not an only child, but I am five years after my second sister.
So you're kind of like an only child.
Yeah, for
she's
sure.
Like, I don't know.
You're the baby.
Yeah, I'm the baby. Yeah. I'm the baby, but I like to think that I'm the most mature out of the three of us. And
oh,
I'm
they're
sure they're
in trouble.
Love this right now, but I think they know it, you know?
Yeah, but as the baby, you know, being 5 years younger, it's like you had three moms and, you know. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
But so I had two awesome sisters, and we're all, like, super close, so.
That's good.
They also helped raise me, so our family's super close.
So how do you find the industry in the middle of nowhere?
So it's actually really interesting. Like when I was young, it never ever occurred to me that I would do hair, not even in high school when I graduated. I didn't know really what I wanted to do when I went to school originally for business and marketing. And I remember sitting in class, and I had like a personal finance class, and the teacher was just so arrogant and aggressive, and it like really turned me off. And I had thought about myself, to myself, you know, just like I watched my parents like build a business their whole life. I've always kind of been surrounded by entrepreneurs, and I thought, you know, honestly, like I'm someone who's like better off like learning on the job kind of a situation. Mm-hmm. So I knew that I wanted to do something like business related, but I just wasn't passionate about like the school aspect of it because I just don't learn well in that environment, like lectures. I'm very much like a visual learner. I like to put my, you know, like I need it to be like tactile. Mm-hmm. So that was a little bit like difficult for me, but it was actually like after my first semester of business school, my grandma had come up to visit me and she asked me how school was going and I was just honest about it and saying that I didn't like it. In fact, I don't know if my parents know this, but I did make doctor's notes at Kinko's and said that I had mono so that I wouldn't have to go to class.
Like a month.
I was like, I'm not going to go to school. Because I hated high school because I was growing up in small town Iowa. I came out when I was 16, so I didn't even know another gay person, so that was like, you know, lonely in a certain respect. So I was up in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. My grandma came to visit and she asked me how school was going, and I just told her I hate this, you know, like I hated going to school in high school. I don't know why I thought this would be any different. And she just randomly was like, how about you go to hair school? Because she was obsessed with going to hair schools to get services done. Mm-hmm. She loved, like, she loved.
She
like,
just wanted an inside track.
Honestly, for sure, for sure. That makes sense, honestly. But she was just like, why don't you try hair school? And I just thought to myself, like, okay, like, I'll go check it out. And I remember, like, viewing the school and being, like, really excited about it. But then it was, like, when I got my kit in hair school and I was like, okay, this is for me. You know, and then I actually like, so I went to school in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and we did, I think it was 2,100 hours. So I learned aesthetics and nail as well. Mm-hmm. And then slowly over time, I just started dropping services that I didn't love.
Sure.
And it wasn't until I moved to Minneapolis and I met my mentor at the time, Kurt Kiefner, and he taught me like traditional barbering, classic barbering, and that was the moment that it changed my life because, like, I loved doing hair and then I felt, like, kind of bored with it, complacent. I just wasn't getting to do stuff that I was interested in. But once it came down to, like, this technical, like, precision haircutting and having, like, the design background aspect to it and, I don't know, like, something about it, I was just immediately hooked and I've been obsessed ever since.
Ever since?
Yeah.
Well, it shows your work is, I mean, when you scroll through your Instagram page, and I was doing it before we started this podcast, and Corey's like, "Her work is sick." I'm like, "Yeah, it's really, it shows."
That means a lot because I don't post maybe as often as I should, you know, because it's kind of hard when you're just working by yourself. And I would love to be a little bit more of an influencer because I know that like it's good to do to like support my business, mm-hmm. but I also like only want to put out work that like I love and I feel good about. I don't want to just put stuff out there to do so, even though I know that that would probably be better for me. It's just really important for me to like control the quality of it in a certain regard. So that means a lot. Thank you.
That's great. I want to take, for real. Yeah, the industry thanks you. I want to take it back a little bit. I mean, what coming out at 16 and like, in the country or wherever. How was that?
It was definitely difficult. I didn't even know another gay person. In fact, like,
you know, Daniel Mason Jones has kind of the same, a little bit of a similar story.
Okay.
Where he didn't even, he grew up, I mean, he grew up in like a pretty strict religion. So he didn't even, he knew that he was different, but he didn't even know what gay was.
That's what it was for me. Like, I always knew that I was different. And I'm from an area where if you mow your lawn on a Sunday, you get a noise ordinance ticket. It's very religious. I went to a public school. We were forced to pray. Like, all of that in my family wasn't religious because my parents had different religions. And then they were just kind of like, all right, well, we just won't go. So I never went. But I always knew that I was different. And it's funny because it actually, like, I was watching MTV and I think it was like Road Rules or something like that was on. And there was like a girl on there and she had a girlfriend and it was just, it clicked. I was like, that's what it is. That's what is different about me. And then it took me a long time to be able to like say it out loud. And then, Yeah, I mean, it was definitely difficult, for sure.
You said you came out. So is it 16 when you recognized it, or 16 is when you started telling people about
So it? I always knew that I was different. I think when I was 12, I realized that I was gay. And then I probably didn't say it out loud until I was, like, 14. And then 16, it was kind of more of a getting pulled out. And then, like, oh, okay, well, we're here, so I guess I'll just admit it kind of a thing. And then I actually moved the night of graduation. So I was really ready to get out of the area that I was in, just because it was, I felt it was very, like, unhealthy for me at that time.
What she's saying is she had some ladies to meet, and there were none.
Yes.
Like,
you know, I had things to do. Yeah, I had some things I got to catch up on, you know. So yeah, it was.
So what do you mean you were pulled out?
Did you
get outed?
Yeah, it was definitely. It was really interesting. So my family had a lake house, and we would travel there and stuff on the weekends. And I had a journal, and I was so, like, paranoid about my privacy that I would put it under the seat in my car and lock the door, and I must have forgotten to lock the door, but it was in our family's garage, and I lived about 20 miles away from the school that I went to, and some people snuck out to my parents' house, went into the garage, went into my car, and got my journal and read it, and that's kind of how it all happened, so it was pretty devastating.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's devastating.
Yeah, it was, but as, like, difficult as that was, I think it's really, in a certain sense, like, made me bulletproof, because, like, I've been through that, so I don't think that a lot of stuff could really impact me, because I really, like, not only did I, like, survive that, but I really feel like it taught me a lot, and I think that, like, it plays a big part in how, like, I treat people, and, like, also how I really like to make the person in my chair feel seen and heard and special. And, like, I really try to make a point to, like, make sure that I'm, like, very accommodating and, like, sensitive to all different types of things. So.
And was your parents, like, you know, understanding, or were they, like, a little?
At the time, they were not super understanding. So that was difficult, but in the same regards, like, they had never met another gay person. And then I think about, like, when they grew up, there was a whole, like, AIDS and everything like that. So, yeah. They are very, very supportive now. My whole family is very supportive.
Well, you know, the thing is, and you know, as a parent, you know, I think that whether you're supportive of lifestyle or not, if we're not talking about lifestyle, but there's still a processing period.
Right. Absolutely.
You know, because there's no way that you have kids, there's no way that you raise someone, and you don't have your own dreams for them.
Right.
You know, so now, in whatever, fair, not fair, whatever, it's just what being a parent is.
Right.
You know, and you try to situate, you know, you try to raise them with the best that you know how, you know, so
exactly.
when there's a big, like, discovery, I don't have another word for it, but
yeah.
When there's a big discovery for that, it does take time to process. That doesn't mean you love them any less, or that doesn't
exactly.
mean that you don't support whatever, like, I hate saying lifestyle, because that sounds like it comes and goes, but whatever that lifestyle is, like, you need that time too, and I think it's important too that we understand that everybody needs their own processing time, just like you need your own processing
but
time.
But on the parent talking about the parents right now is, like, a lot of times when we have conversations about people who want to be hairdressers or barbers, and the parents struggle with that decision. And it's
right.
Fair enough.
You know,
I don't
right.
care if you're gay, but are you really going to be a hairdresser?
Yeah.
You know what's so wild about that is, at one point I remember, I think it was, like, right after I had won NAHA, my dad was like, you know, that first when you said that you were going to do hair, and then, you know, or at first, you know, when you said you were gay, and then, like, you said you were going to do hair, we thought we were going to have to take care of you for the rest of your life. And now look at you. And
now
I'm
look
like,
at you.
Wow, thanks for believing in me. You know, but it's interesting, because I remember actually in high school, like, of course, I was, like, upset at their reaction, you know, like, you're angsty. But I remember my dad saying to me, like, it doesn't matter, like, what, like, the other child is like. Like, every child is, like, a different experience, and, like, we've never been through this before. And it was like, I was able to, in that moment, completely be able to, like, move forward and forgive, and also, like, understand and sympathize with that as well. And so I think, like, it's just a matter of, like, perspective and stuff over time. Because I can't imagine, like, I think it was more or less they just knew that my life would be difficult. And that was difficult for them because they wanted to, like, protect me. And especially, like, me being the baby. And,
sure.
You know, so it was more out of anything, like, just them wanting to, like, protect me and
sounds
me
like
to
you
be
have
safe.
A pretty awesome family.
Yeah, they're pretty awesome. Yeah. I'm very lucky. Yeah.
How'd your sisters react?
A little standoffish at first, I think just shock. But like my sister, I give her a hard time about this because I remember I was like, I had to have been like 12 and she had friends over and they were like laying out tanning and I wasn't even like actually checking them out, but I was playing street hockey, of course. And I had like a backwards hat and like a Darkwing Duck, like fanny pack on, like it was a serious look. And I just have to imagine what I was looking like standing there. But I was, like, staring, and my sister goes, what are you doing? And I was, like, hanging out. And she's like, you're going to be gay when you grow up. And then, like, I brought that up to her now, and she's like, that's really sad, Whitney. Like, she feels bad about it. I'm like, no, it's hilarious. Like, it's probably your fault, honestly. Like,
That's your next tattoo, by the way. You're going to be gay when you grow up.
Yeah, yeah. So it's actually, like, super funny, and, like, I don't know. They're super great. They're super supportive. They always, like, they have a great relationship with my partner and stuff as well. So,
That's
no complaints.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Were you kind of sporty?
I was. I was a basketball player. So before it was, like,
basketball. Before Caitlin, you were the Caitlin?
My parents are obsessed with Caitlin, by the way, because we're from Iowa.
Who's not?
You know? I know. She's incredible.
Well, I mean, there's literally nothing else ever from Iowa. So
yeah.
Caitlin's like a good, like,
yeah.
You know, like,
yeah, thank
like
God.
Pin on the map.
Yeah, exactly.
Except Jamie Wiley. She's from Iowa, right? Or she lives there now.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, like, it's just, yeah, I grew up playing basketball. I played a bunch of different sports, but specifically basketball was the thing. So I feel like I played basketball forever, and I actually didn't go out my senior year for basketball because, like, once I had come out and stuff, they, like, wouldn't want me to change in the same locker rooms as my teammates and stuff like that because it was just, like, super religious. So because of that, I just decided I wasn't going to play anymore, and it kind of broke my heart, and I mourned it, I think, for a long time. And I think, like, when I found hair, it took the place of that, you know. So.
Hopefully they sucked that year.
Yeah, well, we kind of always suck, to be honest. But yeah,
whoa.
Yeah, that was disappointing. But
I feel my heart. I got a little emotional. I'm not gonna lie, man.
Yeah, it was it was super difficult.
I mean, what's worse than being forced out of the closet is to be like forced out of your love.
Yeah, it was wild. Mm-hmm. It was super wild. Sometimes it's like hard to believe that it's the same life, you know. And I think that's why it's so important for me to like be very visible, you know, as a gay person in this industry, like especially like being more in the barbering arena, like as like a female/like non-binary individual. I think it's like very important to like have that visibility because like I never would have guessed that I would get messages from people. Like I had a mom reach out to me and say that like her daughter came out and that she's really proud that she has strong role models and people like me out there. And that was like, that's the whole reason why I do anything is because I like to make the people in my chair feel good, but like I like to also like promote other people's work or make them feel seen. Anything that I can do to help like promote that, I think that's why I'm here.
That's incredible. So. Bravo, friend.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
So, all right, now we'll go back again. So,
I was visiting, you know, her telling mom and dad, hey, I'm going to go to hair school, and the look on their face, and grandma behind them, like,
This is the same grandma that when I wanted to get my nose pierced, my parents said no, and she was like, if you don't take her, I'm going to take her, and then I'm also going to get my nose pierced. And they were like, okay, fine, we'll take her. So
whose mom is she? Your mom?
My mom's mom. All right. Yeah.
Dude, how cool is it that you had like a grandma advocate?
I know. She was really cool. Both of my grandmas were amazing.
Us?
No, they're no longer with us, but...
Okay, now I'll slow the story down a little bit. Like,
Was
she around for Naha? Was she around for the great successes?
No, unfortunately, she passed away while I was in hair school. But I still, like, you know, I had have a ring from her that was, like, her wedding ring. And, like, I wore that, like, on stage when I won Naha and things like that because I like to try to, like, tie things to her. And, like, I think about, like, I don't think she would have any idea that this is what my life would end up being. So it's an honor to be able to do the things that I do and also like bring her along with me. So
that's what a tribute, man. Wow.
Grandparents really cool. are the best.
They really are. Yeah, absolutely.
You didn't meet mine. They weren't so good.
I had a great grandmother.
Yeah, but yeah, no, I met her. She was cool. I liked her.
You should just share her, honestly. Yeah,
we could. Yeah. We could do. Yeah. We actually grew up together.
Oh, that's cool.
So we've known each other since high school.
Yeah, we've been best friends since high school.
That's awesome.
I don't know about best friends, but we've been friends since high school.
I always said my best. Yeah, he always leaves me.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, no, you're just so cold, man. So how did you know, like, you go to Minneapolis and, like, you know, you're starting to fade up the hair and stuff. How'd you know, like, I know how to do this?
So I had my mentor at the time, he had a spot, and I drove past it, and I thought it looked cool, but then I, like, looked it up, and I was like, oh, okay, like, I kind of get what's going on there. So I decided one day that I was going to just go in there and drop off a resume, and they were in the middle of, like, the hiring process, but he specifically loved to hire people straight out of school because he could mold them, but I had been in the industry already for, like, 5-6 years. I was booth rental, like, before I had, like, moved to Minneapolis, so I had...
As a barber or as a stylist?
As a stylist, yeah, and I did color and everything at that time, but I remember I ended up getting a call for an interview, and he handed me a DVD of, like, a haircut that he did, and he was like, come back and do this fade for me, and so I had never faded without guards before. I didn't know any guys in Minneapolis because I had just moved there. Also, very gay, so I didn't have, like, a whole Rolodex of dudes that I could hit up. And so a friend of mine, like, found...
I mean, the gay clubs, you would have found a couple.
Yeah, that's true. But they probably would have been like, no, girl, you're not touching my hair. But I ended up, like, getting someone to come in, and I just took the clipper to the scalp, and I did it, and actually, like, turned out pretty good. And I remember we went back to his office, and he was like, okay, we still got, like, a couple more people we're going to interview. We'll let you know, kind of a thing. And I just kind of, like, cut him off. And I was like, I know that I've been doing hair for a while, but, like, because of that, I know what I want. And I promise you that if you hire me, no one's going to work their ass off for you like I will. And he was like, I never do this, and I didn't want to do this, but I'm going to hire you on the spot today. And I remember I went out to my car, and I sat in my car and cried because I knew it was going to change my life. And, like, from that moment, I never looked back.
Where did the creativity come from? Because, I mean, you're so creative.
Oh, thank you. I think just...
Did you draw, paint? Did you...
I don't know. I feel like I was always, like, I was always playing with critters. Like, I always...
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
I had, like, some sort of, like, animal in my pocket up here. I would be, like, riding around on a horse with, like, my, like, little... puppy, like, on my lap. Like, I was always with animals and stuff like that. But I feel like, honestly, like, watching a lot of TV, because I was out in the middle of nowhere, but, like, even, like, back in the day, remember, like, MTV had that, like, making of the video. Mm. Like, and I loved watching, like, the behind the scenes and, like, seeing how,
like,
things
the process
were made.
Stuff, yeah.
Yeah, I always, like, really appreciated that stuff, and I always was into, like, poetry and writing and things like that. But it's interesting, because even when I did start barbering, I remember when I did my first Naha collection, it was, like, really hard for me to not do perfect hair, to, like, actually let myself, like, break the rules to make, like, more, like, avant-garde, like, editorial work. It was so hard for me to not, like, stick between, like, all of those lines. And then once I did that, I was like, okay, well, now I only want to do that, you know? So, I don't know. I think it's just over time, I just found myself in it. It was kind of therapeutic for me. Like, growing up, I'd wake up in the middle of the night and go outside and, like, shoot hoops. And so now it's like I am just constantly, like, sourcing inspiration all the
wake
time
up in the middle of the night, just grab a pair of clippers and start.
Yeah, I mean, might as well. I have, like, a work live space, so, like, I could actually do that kind of stuff.
Well,
but
that's cool.
Yeah, it's more or less like building, like, different things for like editorial stuff or just like I love like coming up with the concepts and stuff. That's why I like consider myself more of a creative director. Like I happen to cut hair and hair is like my medium today, but I'm always open to it changing because I think like if you're a creative, like you kind of can like do all these different things. Like we have this ability to like transition and ebb and flow out of like different creative industries, but I think like your medium can change if you're open to it. And so like I always try to think like I don't just stick to like the hair industry for inspiration. In fact, like I rarely look at hair for inspiration. I look at like architecture, cinematography, fashion, music. Like I feel like that stuff kind of gets me a little bit more a lot of the time because I just feel like my feed is like obviously just tons and tons of hair, which is great, but I also am not trying to like be unintentionally inspired by someone's work and recreate it or something like that, you know? So I try to not overly immerse myself in it.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess if your inspiration came only from the hair industry, then it would look only like the hair industry.
Yeah, and you know? I like to make weird stuff, you know?
Right.
I like unique people. Like I always like when I do a collection or something, I start with like the concept to the wardrobe to the model. And the hair is the absolute last thing that I think about because if I don't put the right shape on the right face shape, bone structure, it means nothing, you know? So it's always tailored down to the like person that I'm inspired by and I kind of build it around them.
That makes sense. I mean, and I'll speak for you and correct me if I misspeak for you, but the hair is what you're confident about. Oh, yeah. I know I can do that.
Exactly.
You know, it's all this other stuff that I have to work out before I get to that.
Exactly. Even today, like the model that I have, I was wanting to like take it down to the skin and do all the stuff. Well, obviously they're like a signed model and they have like a bigger gig coming up that they can't have their hair that short. And that's why I didn't overly obsess over the concept because I'm never going to try to make the hair do something it doesn't want to do because mm-hmm. then you're just going to be frustrated. So I like went in with like a bunch of ideas and I'll just figure it out as I go. I just let it speak to me. That's how I like to try to do that kind of stuff. Because if you try to force it and you're like so zoned in on this concept and this idea, it often doesn't end up working out. So.
And back to what you were saying earlier about, you know, wanting to be in a position that people are being seen. Well, that also includes your model. That also includes the person that's sitting in front of you, whether, you know, they're a paid model or not. So,
absolutely.
You know.
And I always make it a point too. Like I can't tell you, I'm sure you guys see this at so many hair shows where you get someone up there that just wants to get up there and show off and they're just doing like crazy hair on that model. And then you're like, oh my God, that poor model.
Well, listen, let me tell you, we came up in the early 90s where that's all you ever saw.
Yeah,
on stage. Yep.
Right.
You know, there was the famous, I kind of hope that they're not alive anymore so that never comes back to bite me. But
right.
There was the famous Arturi brothers from Matrix and all they did was slaughter hair, you know, like blow dry
like
and slaughter.
Party.
Yeah. Yes. They are still around.
Are they still slaughtering hair?
They're still calling it, and I quote, the greatest show on earth. So I just want you to know that
it's
still the
now.
Greatest. Just want you guys to know.
That's awesome.
Still the greatest show on earth?
Yeah.
That is
period.
Awesome.
Wow. They're really still around?
Yep.
Where do you see them?
I've seen them at a hair show.
Who brought them? Oh, never mind.
All right. I'll fill you in on
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
later.
Yeah, that'll
yeah.
That'll have to be
yeah.
an off-the-air
yeah,
conversation.
Yeah, exactly.
Really?
But, yeah, I just think, like, if you see, like, I always feel like when people do that, like, you're educating for the wrong reasons and you're just getting
well,
up there to
educating.
Show off. Yeah, and then that's not usable stuff. And then no matter what, like, that model's a person, and I never want them to leave. Like, even if I do something, like, super blunt, I'm going to soften it before they leave because I want them to be able to wear their hair. And I feel like if you do exceptional work, you don't have to do all the platform stuff where you're like acting like you're making hair fly. Like just do really good work. And I think like a lot of educators do get into it for the ego, for themselves. And I think if you just like focus on it and like you keep that mindset, you're going to be successful, you know, and you're going to actually be able to impact people for like the right reasons, and that's long-term success versus short success of that like influencer like I'm just trying to make hair fly kind of a thing.
I mean, my perspective is a little bit different, but I think it's also, again, we came up going to hair shows in the 90s where that was it. I mean, I'm actually really happy to see where the industry currently is. And it, there seems to, and now, you know, granted, when we talked last week, like we work with Presley and we work with these really great educators. So I think the industry's kind of, I don't know, back, because I don't know if it was ever back, but for the lack of a better word, kind of back to, like, let's get down, not to basics, but let's teach you how to do hair and not how to, you know, create a show.
Yeah, but, right. We like the shows, though, because I remember Robert Labetta and all those guys, Exta, when we went there, and it was like a nightclub.
I think it's two different
things. It
was like
a circus.
Though, right? Yeah.
But it was still, we were attracted to the circus.
There's no doubt. But also, Tony, I would also argue that there was no other show. Right, that was the only kind of shows that were out there. So, like, right. if you wanted to enjoy the hairdressing world as the world, the only thing that we were seeing was these super avant-garde kind of like ego-driven looks. And I think where we are now, I think that there's a lot more care and about. I also think, and I think this is a big factor, is that more so than in my entire career, we are hairdresser-driven. And not product line driven. Mm. And because the product line, their job is to bring butts to the booth. So let's slay some hair.
Yes.
You know, and I think a shift happened a few years ago, and I think it's happened a second time post the thing we never talk about. I think that we're looking for hairdressers that we can relate to, and we're looking for hairdressers that are teaching usable stuff.
Yes.
And it's not about necessarily bringing as many, you know, like, you know what we did last week, and this we had a great show. We had Presley Poe and friends last week. We had a great show. And what I'm most proud of, we didn't have one house or rap song. It was all ethereal piano music.
Oh, that's cool.
And we
that's
kept
really
the room.
Cool. I love it.
We kept the room. You know, we I don't know if you saw the opening, but Ira was behind a curtain, and we just blew
so
him
cool.
up, and we were like, and we were backstage because we had to like follow Ira. That's impossible to do, right?
Yeah.
But we were backstage, and what we were fearful of is that if the audience didn't buy in, we lose the whole night in a second.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And you also couldn't yell at them. Shut up! You know, that wasn't going to work in that situation either. So I started crying, actually. When we were backstage and the music started and you could hear a pin drop, we got them.
Yeah.
We got them, you know, and that's what I've wanted to do for years. I wanted to, like, let's bring the music the other way. You can't do it in this environment, obviously, but we don't need that. We don't need that all the time. You know, we can have an experience.
I totally agree. And I think, like, that's the thing, is people want like a more immersive experience and stuff now, I think, which is like, it's so hard to grab people's attention. And so like, you have to fully like envelope them, like bring them in. And I think doing something like that, that's different. It's like one of those moments that like stops people and they're like, wait, this is different. And I think that that's really cool and really powerful.
What's going to happen next?
Man, what is going to happen next?
Well, no, when you slow it down, this is the thought.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this is a different experience. What's going to happen next? I've got to stay tuned.
Yeah. You know?
But as bad as social media can be, social media really has brought hairdressing to the point where it is today. Because before, you're saying in the 90s, where the brands, they're focused to sell products, right? So they're going to put on a show so they can sell products.
Yep.
Today, social media has brought people like you to where we can see quality work, and that's what we want. Now, that's what we're drawn to. Now, when we come see you, that's what we want to see,
right?
And we're going to get that quality work. Yeah. And I think it's changed so much because of social media, because now it's in our grasp.
Mm. I agree, and I think, like, what's so cool about it is, like, you can go anywhere in the world, and, like, there are so many different cultures that have, like, really beautiful traditions around hair. Like, when I lived in South Dakota for a while, I remember this Native American boy had come in, and his hair was, like, very long, and we braided it, and we cut it, because when his first grandparent passed away, they cut the hair off, and they bury it with the grandparent, and I was like, that's so beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's just so many cool things around that. And it's like, as different as all of our languages are, like, we all speak the same language. Like, we all do this for the same reason. Like, if you are in it for the right reasons, you know, like, it is, it's interesting. I cut hair in Tokyo, and we don't speak the same language, but yet we do. And we can cut hair together, and it's it's the same in a lot of ways. And I think that's really, it's really cool that we can connect like that. So I love that. I mean, there's so many people that I've been friends with online for like a decade, and then you just meet them for the first time at a hair show.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's only, what's cool about that too, though, to your point, Tony, what's really cool about that is like, you kind of know the person.
Oh, absolutely.
Like it's, we no longer greet with handshakes. We greet with hugs.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Which is really cool.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The new pen pal.
Yeah. Exactly. It's so cool.
Yeah. When we were in New York, we met Dawn Bradley for the first time. And like, I've probably had 20 hours of conversation with her.
That's crazy.
You know, and then like you're in the room.
On a podcast through Zoom, and we've had many of conversations.
It's crazy. And then you're like, I've seen you over Zoom, but like in real life, it's like, it doesn't feel like I'm just meeting you for the first time. Like it does feel like very real and authentic, because you're able to like, also like on their social media, people like include things with their personal life. You really do feel like you know more about them, you know, like about, mm-hmm. we were talking about Kurt and, you know, like
shout out to Curtis.
Curtis, RIP, about my dog and stuff like that. And I just think like that's really, it's really cool how we can connect like that. So,
when did you see yourself like starting to like elevate and start working with, you know, brands or just start winning competition? I mean,
So I had actually like been working under my mentor, and I remember I was like, we were at the salon, and I remember we were going to do a salon collection for Naha, and there was going to be two male models, and I had gotten one of them. And so I came up with this concept and all of this stuff. And then, right before the shoot, my mentor decided that he wanted to take the model and do the hair. So I got kind of cut out. So then I ended up just like holding bobby pins for everyone else. And I remember like,
she doesn't look salty at all.
Yeah. Well, honestly, it actually drove me a lot, because I remember like him and I were talking, and like, I just thought also like being conditioned as a female and then also like Midwestern, I just thought like, I will pay my dues. I'm going to be nice and respectful, and like the opportunity will just come for me. And I remember him saying like, I feel like you're just waiting for something to happen for you. And I was so offended by that, because I felt like, can't you see that like I bleed for this, you know, like when is my time gonna happen? And I, at that moment, I started like raising my hand and being like, no, I want this opportunity. And it was one of those things that like, after he did that, it lit such a fire under my ass. And after that, I just started saying like yes to things, or that I could do them. And then I was like, okay, well, I got to rise to the occasion, you know, because I already said I could do it. So, yeah, I think that probably started happening around like 2015, 2016. And I created a Naha collection. And then my second one that I created got nominated, and then I didn't win. And then I won the next year. And then I, with the same collection, I won Behind the Chair, and that kind of just snowballed.
Were you still working with your mentor then?
No. Nope. I decided that I was going to go work at the better salon, and I decided I was going to have higher haircut prices. And then I'll be honest, the spite drove me originally at first. But I think that was because actually we were like so much alike, you know, and I have so much respect for everything that he's taught me, because it changed my life. But it wasn't until like that kind of stuff happened. I think that it had to happen for me to step into like
to fly.
I was supposed to be. Yeah.
Did you stuck him hold in the nest. Your trophy?
Yeah. What's that?
Did you let him hold your trophy?
You know, no, but I mean, you could at least feel what one feels like. And I do. So yeah.
Do you guys have a relationship now?
Like we're very cordial, but like, I mean, we don't really cross paths anymore, because I also would totally be the person if he was like, oh, I want to do this thing. I would totally just be like, oh, I'll totally do it, you know, kind of a thing. And then it would be easy for me to get lost in that. So I just feel like for my own sake, I just stay my own course. So
good for you.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's been an interesting ride, but it's been pretty incredible.
I know he's got to be following you and be like, damn it.
I know.
Damn it.
I hope so.
No, he's not. You know what he's saying? That's why I couldn't have her do that haircut.
Oh, probably.
Yeah. No, he's probably telling.
I taught her that.
Yep.
I taught her everything she knows.
Yeah, yeah. And he's not wrong. Yep. Yeah. Absolutely. So, I mean, definitely opened my eyes in a whole new world. And it's so funny because our birthdays are actually like a day apart. I'm like, we're so much alike. That's probably.
When's your birthday?
August 21st. He's August 20th. So we're like very similar in that regard. Yeah.
There you go.
Yep.
What? Minneapolis is very interesting to me. There's these little pockets, right? There's Indianapolis, there's Kansas City. There's Jacksonville, Florida, not exactly like hairdresser, we would think is like hairdresser, like beds, you know, it's not like LA or New York or something. But man, there's some killers in these cities.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's I remember the year Denver that I won team. Naha, we had 8 finalists from Minneapolis. There's a lot of incredible hairdressers in that city. So
you think a lot of that is attributed to Horst?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Horst, like, and then, you know, just like everything that Aveda's like kept up with has been like very incredible. I actually live super close to there. And there's also a couple other companies that are in Minneapolis. So
and
I think
Matt's there. Matt Sweeney's there.
Yes. Matt's amazing.
And he's just,
Mark Dolan's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Used to cut my hair before.
Mark did?
Yep. Before I had my partner not cut it because it would be wrong to not get my hair cut by her. So. Sorry, Mark.
I mean, if you want a good haircut.
Yeah. Though, yeah. But everyone that works there is, like, incredible. I think the year that I won Naha, they also won Salon Team of the Year, so it was pretty cool.
That makes sense, yeah. And that was, I guess that's the Minneapolis connection there that was there that year.
Exactly.
Isn't it interesting, though, that there are these pockets? And I mean, Minneapolis makes sense. I don't know if Kansas City makes sense to me. In Jacksonville, doesn't make sense. I mean, Sam lives there, but he doesn't really participate in all that stuff. But is it a salon that does it? Is it an environment that does it? You know, like, it's very interesting to me how we get these, like, strong pockets.
Outside of Sam, though, that, like, Jacksonville, I mean, it's Sage, right? I mean,
Sage Studios, yeah. I mean, Erica's there and Sarah Jane and Darina, the photographer, who is, like, extraordinary.
Yep. I think a lot of it is actually, like, because I noticed this when I was, like, building my business, is because people, like, in that city, like, it's considered, like, a flyover city. There's this really incredible community of, like, creatives that it's, like, we want to see you make it, and we'll all, like, do our part to, like, assist you in that. And it's, like, very authentic. It's not, like, oh, yeah, we should do something together sometime. It's, like, it's legitimate, it's true, like, and I will say, like, my whole creative team is generally, like, people from my city that I've worked with for forever, because we all just kind of have the same, like, we're all in it for the same reasons. It's for the art, like, no ego and stuff like that, and everyone's willing to, like, do their part and also, like, step into the stuff that's not their part, you know, right, as well. So I think there's something to be said about, like, that, like
lifting each other
pride.
Up kind of thing.
Yeah. And like, okay, like, this isn't just a flyover city, like, cool stuff does happen here. And
shit's happening here.
Yeah, it's funny because, like, people ask me all the time, like, why I live there. And I'm like, because the people are really nice and it's really clean. And because I can fly to both coasts, like, super
easy. Well, I was going to say, if you're a traveling artist, it's great. You know, like, Denver's great or Kansas City's great. Minneapolis is great because, yeah, you're, like, we're not one plane ride away from, you know, anywhere, really. And we're in D.C., like, and we're in, like, a major, you know, airport hub.
Yep.
But, you know, we always, to go to Montana, we always have to fly through Minneapolis.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Or Salt Lake City, but that's a whole other story because we almost crashed and died in Salt Lake City, so we try to avoid that.
All right. No Salt Lake City.
That's another, that's another city that has some great work that's happening there, you know, in Salt Lake City. And a great city, by the way. I'm just kidding about the airport, but I love Utah. If my wife had moved to Utah, I think I would, but she's like, I'm not moving to Utah, bro.
I get it. I mean, I just think it's cool that there's, like, so many incredible artists in so many, like, different cities. It's not just, like, so obvious anymore. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because you're also not, like, overly saturated with, I mean, we have a lot of hairdressers in my city, but I don't know, like, it's just, it's not, like, overly, like, an obvious like industry to be in. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like, it's not like, oh, well, of course this, you know, like in LA, like I love LA, but like yeah. everyone does hair and makeup there, you know? So I think there's like some.
Well, there's industry to support that, right? Like Minneapolis, yeah, there's exactly. no industry to support yeah, no. that.
Exactly.
Right. New York's the same, right? There's industry to support that.
Yes.
You know, but yes. I mean, that too is about social, like social kind
New York.
Of.
Yep. Do you ever do Fashion Week?
I haven't done Fashion Week. I had some opportunities to, but I haven't done it, but I would love to. For the right designer, I would love to. Like, a dream would be to do hair for, like, Rick Owens, because his stuff is so avant-garde, but, like, very conceptual and very, like, utilitarian, and I think our vibes are very similar. That would be a dream for me. So I would love to do that someday. So we'll see.
What are you working on now?
Oh, man. I am currently working on, I just recently built some new curriculum that I am going to develop into a little bit more of a series. It's haircutting curriculum, but it's actually more art and design based. So like the first half of the day is like, we don't even really talk about cutting hair. It's more about like actually like learning how to like redefine your design eye. So like instead of like doing a class on a weekend and then somebody travels to it and by the time they get home, they've forgotten it. What I like to do is I like to immerse them in understanding design and design choices, like even within like the space and pulling out certain things, like why the space feels good because of the balance and things like that. And that like activates that for them like immediately, so then they can start using it. And it's kind of like if somebody, you know, has like a red, I don't know, Prius, mm-hmm. like you see them everywhere, right? So it's like about them getting that muscle memory and activating that immediately, and then being able to utilize that into actually being able to see face shape and bone structure 360 a little bit better. So I like to do more like design theory stuff. And I think over time I will turn that into more of like an immersive like workshop type of experience with like how to find inspiration to how to like execute a photo shoot. So not just even like composition of a haircut for face shape, but also like how to properly like crop a photo, mm-hmm. like how the light needs to hit a certain area, how like the wardrobe is like just as important as the hair, and how like, you know, you could have a shirt that will make the haircut look so much better because like the lines are parallel and it just like makes the photo so much stronger, things like that.
You think a cosmetology background helps you more with that eye or not at all?
I think so. Yeah, because I think especially because there's in the barbering industry, there's such a hole between the two, right? Like, they generally say, like, hairdressers are good from, like, here up. Barbers are good from here down, which I don't think is the case anymore. But
you don't think barbers are good from here down?
I think they're great at doing everything, especially now. Like, everybody's, like, learning.
Barbering's where it's at right now.
I mean, yeah. We just had Los at our show. I mean, like.
Yes.
He's next
yeah.
level.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it's just really cool that, like, the two industries, like, there is becoming, like, more of this, like, hybrid, like, crossover, mm-hmm. right? But there yeah. still is, like, a little bit of a hole in the industry and, like, kind of melding the two together. So a lot of people just like to, especially, like, as a cosmetologist, the background is generally, like, face shapes, like, you know, round, square, like, all of this. But that's only, like, the front, right? Like, we're not only just viewing the haircut from the front all the time. It's, like, a 360.
Good point.
And how to, like, execute, like, a technically excellent haircut, but how to, like, tailor it. So, like, it all looks like it's the same length because of the seamlessness of the fade. However, because the bone structure dips in, like, I'm going to get those little shadows out so that it looks seamless, but it's actually all different lengths, but it's the most tailored specific haircut that person can have for them.
That's, and you said the hybrid. So you have your barbers and you have your hairdressers, and, you know, and I love both, but the hybrid that creates the, you know, the mullets, the picks, these short pixies, yeah. these long extent, these under, it's just, That's my favorite part of the industry right now.
Yeah,
it's so it's so special.
I think it's cool to see like a lot of people that got into barbering and like kind of had this very structured idea of it actually make their way into that a little bit more. Like they want to know about sectioning, like things that they didn't learn in barber school and stuff like that. And I think like it's cool to see them excited about it, and then also them share that knowledge.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
With hairdressers who are like terrified to use like a clipper. So I think it's like really cool because it's like, okay, I'm vulnerable. There's this thing I'm not good at. And then vice versa. And then like, let's come together and like figure it out.
Yeah. I mean, I've even this week I had several of my clients who, you know, that have short pixies that allowed me to move into clipper work. You know what I mean? And it just, it's awesome that just people are just able to experience different things now and, you know, not labeling it, oh, it's a clipper, it's too masculine for me, or it's, you know what I mean? It's, it's too soft for me. It's just people are starting to drop these labels and allowing to just be a little bit more creative.
Yeah. And that, like, that's how it should be, right? Like, I always say, like, honestly, I want to do a collection with a Flowbee because I just want to, like, prove a point that, like, you can still make badass hair with a Flowbee, right? Like, I don't know. I just think, like, it doesn't really matter.
You better
what
do
to
that.
Use
whether it works out or not, it'll you got to post it. Even, okay, even if it fails, you got to post it.
Yeah, you were saying that you only post the stuff
this
that you're most proud
time.
Of. This is it. Yeah. This, okay, is this is it. Wait, this is it.
All right, check. Got
I
it.
Like this. That's you know, awesome. But even to that point, this weekend, Babyliss has both barbers and hairstylists up on stage together for the first time ever.
Love
which
it.
Blows me away a little bit, but you know they've also like they've created this like space where like everybody's welcome, whether you're a stylist or whether you're, and I mean even our friend Olivia's there, who's a social media expert. You know, like they're
that's
creating
cool.
space for like all hairdressing, not just the tools that that you hold in your hands.
Yeah, I love that about their brand too.
Yeah,
and I think like that's something that like Sophie specifically is like very much like pioneered and like makes a point to focus on and like. That's one of the things that her and I have definitely bonded over. And I mean, she's incredible and she's an inspiration for me as well.
Dude, she's incredible.
She's awesome.
What I love is that, I mean, we've had plenty of just badass female barbers.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean? Just taking it to the next level and forcing this hybrid situation, I believe. And, and I'm all for it.
Yeah. I love it. Yeah, it's so cool to see. Like, it's, I don't know. Like, I do feel like there is, I also am, like, realistic in the regard that, like, yeah, I also did get into, like, this niche thing at the right time. Like, I didn't pick it because of that. I picked it because I loved it, you know, and, like.
Just the timing worked out.
Yeah, but I'm also, like, realistic about that, like, that was a part of it. But I think I do feel like it's been really, I feel, like, really honored to have been, like, this little tiny, like, pie of the industry that we've seen grow so much and become so different. It's just been incredible to see. Because I remember, like, when I first started doing it, people would be like, what's it like to be a woman in a man's world? And I always hated that question because I'm like, the guys that I work with don't make me feel that way. So
what about your clients,
about
though?
It. They're awesome. Yeah. They're all the best. Like, I wouldn't be the person that I am without them. Like, they truly inspire me. Like, I get to listen to music and cut hair and hang out with my friends and have really cool, interesting conversations all day. And I've gotten so much, like, incredible advice, whether it's, like, on business stuff or AI or dog stuff. Like, who knows? You know what I mean? Or, like, restaurants. You know, it's just, like.
That's the beauty of our industry. Having our clients.
Yeah.
You know, we have clients that writes our business, our LLCs and stuff like that. You know, like. Yeah.
We love a trade.
Yeah, for sure. We love it.
Love a trade.
You know, where Tony and I work, our salon is like two blocks south of like the National Institution of Health. And that matters because the zip code that we work in are the highest educated women in the world. So, so if you break that down, what that means is there's more graduate degrees held by women in this zip code than any place else in the world. And that's where our salon is. And we're the opposite of that, right? Like now we've been able to have like, I'm going to set this up and I'm going to get roasted for it. But we're able to kind of like have like conversations with these women who are absolutely brilliant and like all mansplaining, all man ego and stuff, like has no room here. Right.
Yeah.
I know you're smarter than me. I know you've accomplished a lot in your life, you know, and like, and certainly for me and as a guy, like there's something positively humbling about that too, you know, cause I've kind of had to like work through like, what is misogyny? What is all these things?
All that conditioning.
All that stuff, yeah.
Because we all have it. We all have this, like, conditioning aspect of it. But I think, like, that's cool because, like, also, like, the traditional, like, barber aspect. Like, you, as much as they've given that to you, you've also given that back to them so much. Like, it's
completely.
It's cool how that can happen completely. That way.
Who do you, are there any accounts on Instagram that you're following that are, like, way, where, who inspires you?
Oh, man. Rick Owens is incredible, fashion designer. I've been following like a lot of really incredible like AI artists lately. Actually, like for Social Art House, we have a gorgeous presentation tomorrow, and it is a lot of like that kind of like more ethereal music, and it is basically the whole theme about it is essentially how like. Technology, like we shouldn't be scared of it and we should embrace it and how it can be used to like find inspiration. And we found this AI artist on Instagram, and I had been like sharing his work and stuff for a while, and he's just so incredibly talented of creating this like hauntingly beautiful work. It's unreal. I can look up his Instagram and let me just double check.
That's really cool.
I don't want to just say his Instagram name, but
you know, I think my relationship with AI is the same as social media in the sense that I think 80% of it is going to be awesome. However, yeah. I think that like, you know, 10 or 20% of it can be pretty scary, and I think we're going to get into that.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure. There's definitely a combination, right? Like there's some elements that can be scary, right? But I think like that's the thing right now is instead of running from it, is like this is the time to run towards it
and understand it
so that you can use it as an asset so that if you need to pivot something in the future, you're able to do so, because you know it's only going to get smarter as we go.
That's amazing. Hey Whit, as we wrap up here, how can people find you?
Instagram. I'm not on TikTok.
No TikTok?
No TikTok for me. I probably should have, but then by the time we got out there, I was like, it's too late. So I'm not on there, but I am on Instagram at Whitney Vermeer.
As one word.
Whitney Vermeer.
Not Vermeer.
Vermeer.
But yeah, and then I'm just around at the shows and doing random stuff for Social Art House. You can find me on there as well. Yeah,
she does kind of live in a bat cave though, because you know we've been in the same room for 1,000 times and have yeah. This is the first time that we've IRL'd as
yes.
well.
It's probably I'm incognito. I'm sneaking around.
Yeah. She's in black. Just find the girl that's in all black. Yeah, and that's Whitney.
Yes.
This has been a quick hour. Dude.
Yeah. It's been incredible.
That flew by. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Such a great conversation.
You do a lot for the industry. Trust me.
Oh, thank you. That means a lot to me. I really appreciate that, and you guys as well.
Thank you. I mean, that was, like, lame, but, you know, thank you.
No, it is true. Like, you guys always have, like, very diverse people on your podcast, you know? Like, you guys have a lot of, like, different people, and I don't know. I don't see that a lot. Like, there's a lot of different outlets that just work with just the same people over and over and over again. And I just think that that's...
Well, I mean, we like having conversations.
That's lame.
Yeah. That's lame.
So lame.
You're lame. Whitney
Vermeer.
Come on, Corey.
You know what he'll do? Before we get on, he'll start throwing around, when like on a Zoom call, he'll throw around like other vowels. So like it screws me up with everybody's names. And like, and then he gets that, see that face, see that giggles? He gets the giggles. Whitney. I'm not going to attempt it again. Thank you so much. Thanks for hanging out with us. Thank you for bringing your girlfriend and having her join the table. Although we wouldn't give her a mic. Whitney said you can't give her a mic, but she can listen in.
She'll take over, honestly.
Yeah, I've heard.
Yeah.
I've heard.
Yeah.
Whitney, thank you very, very much. And thank you for joining us on your day off.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, share it with friends, give us a rating, and drop a review. To listen to all the latest podcasts, please subscribe from your favorite podcast outlet. And to stay connected on and off the show, you can follow us at Hairdistry on Instagram and all other social media platforms. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time. Peace and love.